This is the word of God. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we come to what is probably my favorite chapter in all of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. And as we transition from our study of chapter 1 into this second chapter, I want to remind you the point that the apostle made in the epistle. And as he made that point in this epistle, that point is this, that the center of all of the things that he is going to talk about in this epistle is found in verse 10 of chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn back to verse 10 of chapter 1, where it speaks of the purpose that he had set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That is really the theme of the epistle to the Ephesians, the theme of this letter that he writes to the people of Ephesus. And that's the matter that he unfolds all throughout the first chapter as well as the second chapter, this sovereign power of God to bring all things together in Christ. And as he talked about that in the first chapter, he talked about the fact that he has started by saving us by grace. And he speaks of it in many different ways. He speaks of it in the first chapter of his love for us from before the foundation of the world. He speaks of his predestining us to adoption as children through Jesus Christ to the praise of his glory, and redeeming us, verse 7, through the blood of his Son, so that he might fulfill that purpose for setting forth Christ as the one who is going to be the center of all things. We need to have an adequate conception of what Paul is talking about in the first chapter before we look at the second chapter. And what he is talking about in the first chapter is that God has saved us by his grace. And what we were before that mighty power took us from our sin and brought us into the kingdom of God is what we would still be if God had not intervened in our lives and rescued us. He took us from the depth of sin, and he took us from the death of sin, which was the case of the entire human race, and he brought us from sin and from wrath into the kingdom of his Son. This book is a book that tells us about his love for us. And that love for us is declared all throughout this epistle, but it is especially clear and especially plain in the second chapter. And as you turn to the second chapter, it transitions at verse 1 with the word "and." He says, "And you were dead in trespasses in sin." We were dead in sin. As he mentions the word "dead," I want you to recall what dead means. We're going to look at that a little bit more in a moment. Dead in sin. We were dead in sin. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. And those who were dead in trespasses in sin are those whom God raised and glorified and made part of his family through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer to the problem of mankind who is dead in trespasses and sins is not that we're going to get a little bit better. There are a lot of people who seem to think that mankind is going to get a lot better. Look at all of the abilities that we have. Look at all the abilities that we have to do mighty and glorious things. I mean, we've put a man on the moon. We've done all of these glorious things. We have been able to get out of all of these problems of sickness with the health issues that so many have had. And over the years, so much has been done. And because of that, there are many who would suggest that we're going to get better and better and better. The problem is that those who think that we're going to get better simply do not understand what it means to be dead in trespasses and sins. Dead is helpless and hopeless. Dead is dead. There is nothing the dead can do. They are simply dead. And that's the one that Paul speaks of in this passage, the one who is raised to life in Jesus Christ. The answer to the problem of a person being dead in trespasses and sins is only the power of God that raises and seats that person to life and to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. God has done it. We have not. We have not helped him. We cannot help him. We are dead in trespasses and sins, but God has made us alive in Jesus Christ. There is no stronger word than death. It's categorical. You can't say anything beyond the fact that a person is dead. There's not an almost dead. There's an actual dead. Not desperately ill, almost gone, but dead means what? There is no life there. And now the apostle's word comes, not mine, but his word, the word of God, and the word that's used everywhere in Scripture. It's the word that's used about those who are dead in sin. They are saved how? Not by their strength, not by their ability to get out of death by themselves, but they are saved by the sovereign power of God in Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 5 says that he made us alive together. It's the work of God regenerating, making us alive. It's an act of sovereign power. It's absolutely God's power, and apart from God's power, it simply cannot be done. God's the only one who can make the spiritually dead live. The dead are unconscious. The dead are inactive. The dead are in a process of decay. Remember what they said about Lazarus when Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus and he was going to raise him from the dead. They said, oh no, you know, he's been dead several days, meaning he's in the process of decay. Little did they know that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ was going to bring him from death to life by a sovereign word. And it's one of my favorite stories. Actually, one of my more favorite stories about that passage is that someone said that had Jesus not mentioned Lazarus, there would have been a whole lot more people raised from the dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. His power raised the dead, unconscious, inactive, in the process of decay. He raised him to life, and God raises us to spiritual life and makes us a member of his family, a child of God. God's the only one that can give you life and salvation. You can't do it. You can't help. Christian conduct comes only to Christian people who are made alive by the power of God in Jesus Christ. And that's the gracious love of God. And this passage underscores the gracious character of God's work. It's all God's work. It's all that he does. We don't do anything to make us alive unto God. And you're either dead or alive to God, dead spiritually or alive spiritually. And if you're alive to God, it's because God has raised you from the dead. And if you are raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, you can say with Scripture, "Once I was blind, but now I can see." If you are alive to God, you're working for God, you're living for God, you have an appetite now for the things of God that you didn't have before, because being dead, you were unconscious and inactive, no spiritual appetite. But alive to God, raised to life, you now have an appetite for the things of God. He has made us alive, verse 5 says. Verse 6 says, he has raised us together with Jesus Christ. We are raised to the realm of the living, not to be found anymore among the spiritually dead. And our salvation is compared to Christ's experience of resurrection and ascension. We have been raised to new life. We have this breathtaking transition from wrath to grace. From what we were to what we are, no longer under wrath and condemnation. We can say, "No condemnation now I dread," as we have just sung. Why? Because God in Jesus Christ has raised us together and given us life in Jesus. We're not spiritually dead, we're alive in Christ. We're no longer under the dominion and the control of sin. We can say now, "I don't belong there anymore. I'm no longer a sinner under the power of Satan, but I am under the control and I am under the love of God in Christ." Alive to God. Good to be near unto God, as the psalmist would say. One who lives as if there is a true God, who loves to worship. What is it like if you don't want to worship, if you don't want to read your Bible, if you don't like going to funerals? Well, it's simply there's very little spiritual life there if you don't love to worship, love the Bible, and love to know the truth that God is the one who has brought us to life in Jesus Christ. And we now have that new orientation, that new love. Your heart, your mind, your soul now come under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and your whole being is directed to this new sphere of heavenly realities, to a life in concert with God through Jesus Christ. Your mind thinks in terms of eternal values, that we are a part of the family of God, that we want to know more of God, so we read his word. We love the Bible. The Bible has now become interesting to us, and it should be interesting to you if you belong to Jesus Christ and have been raised to new life in Christ. Your heart now is a heart that desires righteousness, and it is a desire that you have to be in the presence of God, and your will has been changed and transformed from a will that hated and did not love God to a will that now seeks and desires to do what? To please God and to serve God. We have been raised to this new life, and we have been raised, as verse 6 tells us, with Jesus Christ. We are joined to the resurrected Christ who sovereignly reigns. We share in his triumph, and that is not dependent upon us. It's what God has done in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're now in the realm of the spiritual living, not among the dead. The dead that he speaks of in verse 1, who are dead in trespasses and sins, were among the living, who are a part of those who have been raised with Jesus Christ. We have been raised to a place of intimacy with God, a part of his family, in order to partake of the power of the risen and the glorified Jesus Christ. You should ask yourself, where do I belong? As a Christian, you know that you don't belong to this world, as it were, because now you have a heavenly citizenship. A heavenly citizenship that reminds you you are a part of the family of God. We are now ranked as princes of royal blood. We belong to the King. We are no longer Satan's. Satan no longer has authority over us. We don't need to fear him because there is in Jesus Christ victory over Satan. And we're no longer under the wrath of God and under the judgment of God because that wrath and that judgment was taken by Jesus Christ and it was laid upon him so that we might be freed. And now we belong to him. We belong to the King, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks to us intimately about that love and that grace that he has showered upon us so that we might worship him. And worshiping him, we have the ability to do that now because he has raised us in Christ. He has made us alive, and we are ascended and seated together with him in the spiritual realms in Jesus Christ. We need to ask, are you alive to God? Have you been joined to Christ? If yes, then Christ is Christianity. That means you are a part of the one who is a part of the family of God. And no one who has been united to Christ can ever die to God or take up the old sins as before. No, we live now for Jesus Christ. Are you raised with Christ? If you're raised with Christ, do you think of things in terms of the kingdom of God? Do you seek it? Do you desire to live for him? Are you seated with Christ? You are if you've been raised to new life with Christ. If you're seated with Christ, do you know and experience that victory in Jesus that is yours in him? And do you stand firm in the spiritual warfare against the enemy of God? Paul's going to talk about that in some detail in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, where he says, put on the armor of God. We can stand in our spiritual warfare against the enemy. Why? Because we have been given that armor and we have been seated with Jesus Christ. This chapter, chapter 2, is a wonderful chapter that speaks of the power of God, that power that was talked about in the first chapter, that power that saved us, that power that made us his, that power that transformed us, that power that adopted us into the family of God, that power that transitions us from death to life, that's ours in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we glorify God and praise his name. Both now and forever, I hope that you will do so as you contemplate what Paul has written in this passage of the mighty power of God transitioning you as a child of God from wrath to grace into the family of God. Thanks be to God for his wonderful grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.